Again, this is the last installment of this topic. I assume Weimer is going to be continuing next week. So if you look at look at number 11 on the on those who have Svarim, I'm not sure which page it is, but you'll help guide you. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. We're continuing Ma'ididis. So it's Me'ein Olam Haba, Yom Shabbos Menucha. Tafnun Gimel, those who have the Svarim, and those who have these sheets, it's number 11. Tell me when you have it. No, you don't have it? That's all different editions, I think, of the Masifta. Taf Ayin Gimel?
Oh, yeah, Taf Mem Gimel.
Taf Mem Gimel, okay. So he's commenting here on the Nusach, the Me'ein Olam Haba Yom Shabbos Menucha, we say in the Zemer. So he describes here, this is the Toras Chaim, that Lefi Shal Shabbos Yom Me'ein Olam Haba, that we've discussed many times up until now, how Shabbos is a little snippet, a little taste of what Olam Haba is. Here's a sheet if you'd like. Oh, what do you got? So that Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, just a little piece of Olam Haba. And Al-Kein Mitzvoseh V'Hanhogoseh Hein Ke'ein Olam Haba. All that we do, all the practices, all the mitzvahs, is really a microcosm of Olam Haba. Yom Shekul Shabbos. Shabbos, all of Shabbos is Olam Haba. In what way? So the Fikach, Kishem Shetanig Olam Haba Hu Be'yayin HaMeshumar Be'in Ba'navav. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perek HaChelek, talks about various things that are going to be in Tchias HaMesim during Olam Haba. One of the things that the Gemara mentions is that we're going to have Yain Meshumar. Yain Meshumar is wine that has been preserved and aged over the course of centuries. And in some way, in a spiritual form, we're going to enjoy that Yain Meshumar. So too, Kach Chayv HaAdam L'Kadesh Al HaYain B'Shabbos. So in order to bring that to our level, we have a mitzvah of Kiddush every single Shabbos. Just like in the times of Olam Haba, there's going to be Yayin Meshumar, so too we have to have a Kiddush Al HaYayin on Shabbos. And Lefisha Osa Yayin Shel Olam Haba HaMeshumar Ba'Navav. That wine that is going to be had in Olam Haba has been preserved for many generations. Ein Sholetes Bo Yad HaAdam. It's been Meshumar, it's been protected from man. It's somewhere saved away. So too, Kimokein Yain Megula Pasul Lekiddush. So the Toras Chaim is trying to tell us that a lot of halachas. Now, I once had a discussion with the Weinberger about learning Chassidus and halacha and Nigla and Nister, the revealed Torah and the hidden Torah. So I'm trying to remember the exact dialogue, but in essence, he was saying, we were talking about learning. When you first learn Nigla, you first learn Gemara and halacha. Then you learn Nister afterwards, you learn Chassidus, you learn a little bit Pnimius deeper to help you understand things. But he said back to me, the way the Chassidim understand it, all Nigla, all Halacha is really Nister. So when you learn at certain Halacha, there's a certain superficial understanding. I shouldn't say superficial, as it's not, there's depth to it. But in every Halacha we have, it connects to a much higher level. And so what he's telling us here is there's a halacha that you can't have yain that's been left out overnight. There's halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch that yain megula, any liquid left out overnight, not covered, you can't drink it.
Is it yain, only yain?
That there's a different halacha of water as well. The Gemara, Shulchan Aruch brings down a halacha that any water or any mashkim that's been left out overnight, there's a chashash that a snake may have drank from this water and left some venom. And therefore, you can't drink it. So the Tosfos writes in Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we live in a place in New York, there's no snakes here, so it's not a chashash, you are allowed to drink water, wine left out overnight. That being said, we saw this the other night in the Shulchan Aruch Shir. But that being said, the Gra and many Hasidim had the practice, even Bizman Hazeh, even though you don't live amongst snakes, there still is a chashash of Yain Megula, wine left out overnight, you're not supposed to drink it. So it had a paskin, so it depends who you are. It depends how immersed you are in the world of Kabbalah and Chassidus. Pashup shot is I would tell someone they can drink water, they can drink wine. If I know a person's very makbid, a Svardi, let's say, who's very makbid on these inyanim in general, on Divrei Kabbalah, so then I would say better not to. But either way, there's a halacha that mikar din, one really shouldn't have, at least in the time of the Gemara, not to have any wine that's been left out overnight. What's the reason, though, he says? Every time there's a reason in halacha, there's a deeper reason in Kabbalah. So another example. Why don't we, what's halacha mayim achronim? Mayim achronim, we wash our hands because the Gemara says, Nechsedomis. Nechsedomis, they might touch some salt in the food that you're eating, and if a person touches his eye with Melchizedek, it's very strong, very potent, it could cause someone to go blind. Nowadays, we don't find Melchizedek anywhere. It doesn't exist, at least that we know of. So many say nowadays you don't have to wash the Mayim Achron. But I'll pick Kabbalah that it's a much deeper reason for Mayim Achronim. The Gemara says Melchizedek. The Gemara wants to give us a reason we could understand. I'll pick Kabbalah, there's a much deeper reason which we were not privy to know. So I'll pick Kabbalah, you really are supposed to wash the Mayim Achronim. So too, Yayin Megula, even though they explain because of snakes, you really should be makbid on Yayin Megula, according to the poskim, according to the Api Kabbalah. So what's the idea, he says? The idea is, back inside, because Yayin Megula pasal akidish afibiz man she'ein bo sakana, because it's supposed to remind us of Yayin Meshumar. Olam Haba, there's this wine that's been preserved for many generations. I don't know where this wine is, I don't know what type of wine, I don't know how it's been aged, but it's somewhere being meshumar. So in order to remember that, we have to have wine also that's been meshumar, that hasn't been left out overnight. Nothing to do with the snakes. Nothing at all.
Just clarify, left out overnight means uncovered.
Uncovered overnight. Left out on your counter, uncovered. Once it's been covered, exactly. But the idea is to remind us as a zecher for the yayin meshumar of Olam Haba. There's also halacha in terms of wine, that you also can have yayin mevushal, if it's cooked wine. There are a lot of halachas of what's good for yayin, what's not good for yayin. So the Rambam writes that whatever type of wine you could use on the Mizbeach, you could use for Kiddush as well. So there are a lot of different, what do they do on the Mizbeach? Every single day they bring a carbon, tamid, on the Mizbeach. And accompanying that carbon, there is a little place, there are two little drains alongside. You walk up the ramp to the Mizbeach. The left side, there are two little drains. One was for the wine they poured every single day, and one was for the water they poured during Sukkot. So that wine, there are certain high-quality wines that can be used for the Mizbeach, and certain wines that are disqualified. So one type of wine that's disqualified is Yayin Megula, cannot be used on the Mizbeach. So too, just as a side point, the Rambam says you can't use Yayin Mevushal. Yayin Mevushal is wine that's been cooked, that's been boiled. So Yayin Mevushal you can't use because that's already considered a downgrade of the quality of wine. That's pasul for the Mizbeach. So that would not be good, according to Rambam, to use for Kiddush. So that I'm going on a little side point, halachic side point, just for a moment. So it becomes a big problem if a person has a housekeeper in their house who works there regularly. So then if you want to be makbid on the Rambam and use Yayin Ein Mevushal, uncooked wine, natural wine, so then if it's open and a non-Jew touches it, it's going to be a problem of Yayin Nesach. So therefore, you have a big shaila. How do you avoid that? So that's just bringing to your attention that those who want to be makbid in the Rambam and only had Yayin Ein Mevushal have to be careful of having a non-Jew in the house. It's a good etza to know that the Kedem wines, you know how to tell the difference between Yayin Mevushal, Yayin She'ein Mevushal? Yeah. The big wines are Yayin Ein Mevushal and the smaller bottles are Yayin Mevushal. That's the way to the simon.
Because when they heat it up, the bigger barrels don't get enough hot inside the core of the barrel in order to be considered a bushel.
The
thinner barrels.
They boil it while it's in the jar?
Yes.
Really?
They boil it while it's in the. Yes.
Wow. Okay, I'm shocked.
The barrels get hot enough when it's a bigger barrel.
Why do they do it that way? I don't know. I have to ask the manufacturer.
I think it gets boiled when it's...
I don't know. Why?
It actually makes sense what he's saying, because then why not just make everything a bushel and then before you bottle it, right?
I would think that would make more sense to do it that way, but I don't know. Okay, either way.
What he's saying makes sense, right. Because why would there be a difference?
Yeah, I understand, yeah. Right, right. Okay. So then they read further inside. Ukshem sheba'olam haba yis'angu ha'tzadikim b'levyasan. The Shor Habar, there's going to be in the future, there's the Sefer Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai is one of the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Bachai was very immersed in Kabbalah as well. And he has a Sefer, I forget the name of it, but he describes what the Suda is going to be like in the future. The Gemara in Pesachim refers to the Suda of Asad Lava. Who's going to be benching? Is it going to be Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov? In the end, who's the one who benches? Who leads the Zeman? Anyone know?
David HaMelech
leads the Zeman. So the Rabbeinu Bachai has a whole fascinating discussion, what's going to happen at this Suda. So one of the things that they eat at the Suda was a Levyasan. What was a Levyasan? A huge fish. A huge fish. So that's why, and also some type of some type of ox. So Kachayiv Ha'adam Lechel Dagim Ubasar B'Shabbos. That's why we eat fish, to remind us of the Levyasan, what's going to be in the Suda of Olam Haba. Now, the Leviathan is such a fascinating personality, if you will, or animal. We find just a number of Gemaras come to mind now. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah describes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does every single day. So the Gemara says the first 3 hours of the day, I don't remember exactly the Seder he learned. The next 3 hours of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's judging the world. And then the next 3 hours of the day, he feeds everyone. And the final 3 hours of the day, he's mesachek b'Leviathan. He plays sport with the Leviathan for 3 hours. Not sure what that means. I don't think he's referring to watching the Super Bowl for 3 hours or so. But there's some type of mesachek b'Leviathan, which is very unclear what that means. The another Gemara comes to mind as well. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mesareis l'Leviathan. There was two Leviathan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man and female of every single creature. So the problem was, Leviathan was this huge animal. Let's just call him dinosaur, just for, you know, to bring it to life a little bit. Not discussing whether dinosaurs ever existed or didn't exist, but let's just imagine a huge, give me a good Tyrannosaurus Rex, I guess, okay? Even though it was a fish, I don't know the fish dinosaur names. But, so Leviathan was a huge whale. So he was concerned if they would produce another one, they would just take over the world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu's Mesares, he cut off the ability to have any other Leviathans and to prevent that from happening. So there's just a fascinating shaila. I'm sorry, my mind is going on a lot of tangents today. So there's a fascinating discussion, I think it's in the Shvus Yaakov. He wants to know how Kadosh Baruch Hu could be Mesares Leviathan. There's an Issa Deraisa of sterilizing an animal. There's an Issa Deraisa that the Gemara in Shabbos talks about. You can't be Mesares an animal. You can't neuter an animal. It's a shaila of those who buy dogs. You can't neuter a dog. It's an Issa Deraisa. And the same holds true is you cannot have a non-Jew do it for you. Amir L'Akum, people think, applies to Shabbos only. It's not true. Amir L'Akum applies to Shabbos, to Yom Tov, to Chol Moed, to every single Isser outside of Melacha Shabbos as well. To have someone be Misaris, animal that you own, would be an Issa Deraisa of Amir L'Akum, Issa Derabanan of Amir L'Akum on the Issa Deraisa of being Misaris. So the Shvus Yaakov asks, how could Kadosh Baruch Hu be Misares the Leviathan? That's a shiloh. I don't remember his answer, though. You have to look there what he says. But the assumption is that Kadosh Baruch Hu does keep all the mitzvahs. That's what the assumption is. You could very likely say Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to keep the Torah if he doesn't want to. Doesn't have to keep the mitzvahs. But the Yushalmi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps all the mitzvahs. He keeps Shabbos, he keeps Rosh Hashanah. The Baal Tanya says he blows a shofar from Rosh Hashanah. He learns Torah every single day. There's, in fact, a fascinating Gemara in Gittin that talks about Rabbi Avyasa and Rabbi Yonatan having machlokas about the story of Pilegish Begiva. Pilegish Begiva was a maisa that happened where the husband, if you will, kicked out his Pilegish out of the house. It caused the whole destruction in Shevet Binyamin. And there's a question, what exactly happened? Why did the husband kick out the Pilegish? So one opinion says, between Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Avyasa, that one says that he saw a certain hair that disgusted him. One said he saw a bug on her that disgusted him. Something really bothered him, and he sent her off. And one time, Rabbi Avyasar was zocha to gilui Eliyahu HaNavi. So he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, which many Amoraim had the zuchus to do, is what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at this very moment? So he says, in fact, he's actually learning. He's learning the sugya of Pilegish Begiva. So Rabbi Avyasar got very excited. He says, so me and my buddy Rabbi Yonason having a machlokas, what happened? So Eliyahu says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Bini Avyasar, my son Avyasar, says there was a hair that caused him to send her away. And Bini Yonason, my dear son, Yonason, says it was a bug that caused him to send her away. So Rabbi Avyasar says, Chas v'sham, there's a suffix, Kameshmaya, that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what happened. He wasn't sure who's right. Was it a hair? Was it a bug? So Eliyahu says, no, Elu v'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chaim, they're both true. He first saw a hair that didn't bother him that much, but then he saw a bug and then he said, get out of here. He kicked her out. But you see from this Gemara many things from that Gemara. But not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu learn, but he learns our Torah. He learns our Chidushim. Whatever we say, whatever we contribute to learning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu quotes, B'ni Avyasar, B'ni Yonason. Fine. So anyway, so that's Leviathan. Back inside now. The Gemara said, not the Gemara, the Torah Chaim says further, Dibur Maschul Umishum, further in this piece here, Umishum Sheba'olim Haba Yisachku Man Letzadikim. The Man was something that was going to be, let's say, eaten by the Tzadikim. Okay, nogin lechol pashtida b'Shabbos. There's a practice at pashtida. Anyone know what pashtida is? Anyone know what? I think it's something like a kreplach even, where it's covered in dough. I think the way the Mishnah Berurah describes dough and meat inside. Anyone, you know what pashtida? Yeah, is that what it is?
It's
Oh, is it really? The kugel, really?
It's not like we make kugel. It's a little
different. Is it a dough on top and the bottom?
This one.
No. So I think.
No, but it gets a crust.
Oh, there's a crust. Okay, fine. So we have to find out what this is. Okay, can you buy this at any stores around here? You can't. Okay, homemade only.
Google has a crust.
What? Has a crust, right. So it could be that. So there's a crust on the top, but the bottom doesn't always have the crust, though. Does it really? Yeah. So the top and the bottom. So you have a crust here, and then inside is a potato or noodle, whatever you have in the crust. So I guess that's the pashtida. And the idea is to remind us of the man that, of course, was covered by the tal on the bottom and the tal on the top, which is why we cover the chal on the bottom, we cover the chal on the top, to remind us of the man that they're going to, that they ate in last week's parsha and throughout the midbar, and they are going to eat in the future in Olam Haba. Shehi Remez, he says, Leman Shaya Botal Milamala, Vital Milamata. There are those who say, what I just mentioned before, Shemitamza, that's the reason why Porsin Mapa Bishabis Lamala Olamata, Belechem Mishna Beemsa Zeichelman. This is a lot of things we do to remind us of the man, not because what he's saying, because what was done in the midbar, but really what's going to be in the future in that Suda of Olam Haba. Okay. V'chein hachanas ha'adam ael ha'shabbos, hi kefi hachana l'yom shekula shabbos. So all the preparation a person does this week, as he comes closer to Shabbos, so it's also a similar idea that k'shem she'b'olam haba, yirchot ha'adam, so the idea of hachana, we're preparing for Shabbos, so too this world in Olam Hazeh is a preparation for Olam Haba. U'k'shem she'b'olam haba, yirchot ha'adam t'chila, Binar dinar kidei lahavir es kismei v'zuemes ha'avonos. A person goes to the mikvah, goes to take a shower, to clean himself. So kein mitzvah hi al kol adam lirchotz atzmo b'chamin kodem ha'shabbos. I don't know what this nar dinar. It's referring to something that, I don't know, I guess when you get to Olam Haba, there's some bath or mikvah you go to cleanse yourself in Olam Haba. So as a zeicha for that, that's why there's an inyan to bathe before entering into Shabbos. Kidei lahavir mimenu. As a zuma, to remove all the dirt, the disgust that's on us, the physical and also the spiritual. Ukeshem shebaolam haba acher richitasa benar dinar sen yifshod hadam as bigdei hachulon. A person removes clothing afterwards. Who gufa hamalbish es nishmasa baolam hazet, to reference to removing the physical body. The yubash begadam ruchaniyam, to put on spiritual clothing. Hasuyim b'mitzosava. It's a very, very big inyan that immediately a person is brought down in the svarim. After a person takes a shower, he should immediately put on Shabbos clothing. He shouldn't first put on the weekday clothing and then change afterwards. Immediately the first thing is Shabbos clothing, based on this idea. It's also brought down, there's always a shaila how many times one should go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. So there are many different explanations, but two is at least the minimum amount, two, that they suggest a man go to the mikvah. The first one is to remove all the big day chol, and the second one is to bring in the big day Shabbos. The same idea, which again he's saying is really modeling what takes place in Olam Haba. Okay. Number 12, this is HaShabbos Gedolah Min HaOlam Haba. You guys see that? It's from Butzina Din Hura. Okay, small piece here. It's a very, very powerful piece, I think. Amar Rav HaKadosh Rabbi Baruch Mimezbiz says, Shabbos Gedola Min HaOlam Haba. That Shabbos is actually on a higher level than Olam Haba is. Mishim Shehi HaMayin HaNachal Shemimena Zochen LiOlam Haba. This is the source, this is the spring that we're going to be Zochet to Olam Haba. By us keeping Shabbos, that's going to lead us to Olam Haba. So that's an amazing thing, that Shabbos is on a higher level than Olam Haba. So it reminds me of a Gemara in Ksubas. I don't remember which daf, but it's the end of the Gemara there, where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he was called Rebbe. You know, not just anyone's called Rebbe. Yehuda Nasi, when he was dying, there was a big fight in this world to daven for him to live or daven for him to die. He was going through a lot of pain. And there's actually halach lemaisa that's learned from that Gemara, that Rav Moshe says if a person is in a tremendous amount of pain, dying, you're allowed to daven that you take his life, or his or her life, if it's really a lot of tzaros for them. So there's a machlokas down in the back in the story. Chachamim were davening that Rabbi Yehuda should live, and his shivcha, his one, the maidservant in the house, who was held his aide, was davening that he should die because he was in such pain. Every 2 seconds, he's going to the bathroom, tefillin on, tefillin off, tefillin back and forth, and she couldn't fight the chachamim davening. So finally, she broke something and shattered. The rabbi stopped davening, and then Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's neshama went up to Shemaim. So then the Gemara goes on to say that every single Erev Friday night, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would come back and visit his house, Leil Shabbos. Such a strange thing. He's an Olam Haba. And he comes back to visit his family. Yeah, we love family and everything. I'm sure the family appreciated Rabbi Yehuda coming back to visit. But from Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, he was an Olam Haba. He probably had one of the greatest chaylaks in Olam Haba. And yet he came back in this world for Shabbos. So when I saw his piece, I thought of that Gemara. It must be that Shabbos is a higher level than Olam Haba. Then he stopped. Remember why he stopped? Before you get to your question.
He was making Kiddush for 2 years when he came. That every week he made Kiddush for 2 years.
And when someone saw him, right? Someone came to the house and that Friday night. I don't know. I forget who it was. And they said Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was here 2 years after he died. And then he stopped coming after that point. So yeah, you had a question?
Does that say that in general we have a connection to the Neshamas more on Shabbos because they're attracted to being with us because they don't have Shabbos, which is greater than Olam Haba than the rest of the week?
Yeah, I'm not sure how to take what the next level means. It could be. It could be, yeah.
Yom Shekula Shabbos over there.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the difference is. I don't know. That much is beyond... Okay. Next piece is, this is an interesting piece as well, from Imre Pinchas. It's right below this one. Rav HaKadosh Rabbi Pinchas Mikaritz Amar B'Shem Rabbi Chaim Krasner Shayidei HaShabbos Yachal Adam Livada Ma'u Chelko Le'olam Haba. The Gemara has interesting cases. If a person wants to test out, the Gemara at the end of Horios talks about, let's say you want to know if you're going to live this year or not. So the Gemara talks about taking a piece of bread and looking in the mirror, a whole strange thing the Gemara talks about. You want to know if you're successful in business, the Gemara talks about like putting a fire up and a candle and seeing if it goes out. The number, interesting simanim. The Gemara says, in the end of the day, we paskin simanim milsa, a simon, actually has some relevance. That's the source of having simanim in Rosh Hashanah. We have a rimon, we have a dvash, we have a fish head, all these things based on that Gemara in Horios. So Rav Pinchas Mikaritz says, you want to know another simon, you want to know what your chelik in Olam Haba is? You want to really know? It's going to go according to Shekein Kefi Midas Ha'oneg V'Anachas Sheyesh Lo Bolam Hazeh Min HaShabbos. The way you enjoy your Shabbos, Kach Ye Inugo Ba'Olam Haba. That's going to be your indicator of what Shabbos, what rather Olam Haba is going to be like you in the future. If you're a person who can't wait for Shabbos to end, you dread Shabbos coming. The first thing you do, I mentioned this in the past, you turn your phone on. The second Shabbos is over, checking your emails and your texts and the news. I understand there's a certain anxiety, and perhaps over all Shabbos you don't even think about it. The moment Havdalah comes and you turn your phone on to check what you missed. It's a person who doesn't love Shabbos so much. Person who, you want to test out where your Olam Haba is holding. If you love Shabbos coming, you want to usher in Shabbos, you want to start it early, you're having a meal where you're enjoying the singing, you're enjoying the divrei Torah, you're enjoying the food, and then that's a great indicator that you're going to get a great chelik in Olam Haba. If you're not feeling that way, that means you have to start picking up a little bit. You have to start picking up the learning, picking up the davening, picking up everything you want. Now, speaking of davening, just last night someone was telling me that he was just in Eretz Yisrael, a certain mechanech. He was going around asking different tzaddikim. He's a mechanech of high school boys. And he was asking, he asked two great people, what's an eitza to help people, not only students in high school or kids, even adults. How does one mechazik their tefillah for ourselves? How many of us have really great davening? I know for myself personally, my tefillah isn't great. I've mentioned this a while ago in the Shal Shudas once, that certainly Rav Weinberger away, when you know they're waiting for you to finish davening, it makes your tefillah awful. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. My best tefillahs are when I daven mincha in Yeshiva Gedola or in Young Israel Woodmere. I know no one's waiting for me. I can daven my own pace. That's the best. But when you're not there, so then it's you know they're waiting for you. Even though you try not to pretend you don't know, you really know they're waiting for you. Same thing with Shema. It's a terrible thing. So there's no kavana. You can't go at your own pace. You can't really think about anything. So you imagine when Weinberger's here, it's great also because they don't wait for me, they wait for him. But then if I'm davening 50 minutes longer than him, I look like a real Balgaiva, that I have a greater tefillah than he's davening. So my tefillah hasn't been great in 2.5 years, except when I go away. So what's an eitza for a person who's trying to be mechazik their tefillah? So this mechanech had asked, I'm trying to remember which two he asked, Rabbi Gamliel, he asked. Rabbi Shai was, you were there, Morty, right? Okay. So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, I'm confusing who said which one. Do you remember which who said which? Okay. Right. So Rav Steinman's son, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman's son, Rav Shraga Steinman, I think his name is, right? I think Rav Shraga. So he said, what's the question? Why should they daven well? I mean, they have parnasa, they have whatever they want, they go to yeshiva, life's great. A kid's in 12, 13, 14, what's wrong? So why would they daven? Meaning, the only time a person davens is when they need something. If you don't need anything, you get everything you want, there's no need to daven. You can't force them to have kavanah and pay attention to the words. It's not meaningful to them because there's nothing they need. So when a person gets older, when they need a shidduch, when they need parnasa, and the children, when they, whatever, an illness, so then a person needs. And then that's when a person could start davening. But to train a kid when they're so young, it's you teach them whatever you can teach them, but you can't have high expectations. That was Rav Steinman's understanding of tefillah. You have to just wait until they're mechazik their own tefillah. So what did Rav Gamliel say then? I forget what he said. But it was a similar answer, I think. It wasn't as sharp, but it was a similar answer that, again, for kids, you can't really push them. You teach them as best you can, but you can't get disappointed, you can't get upset if the tefillah is not where you expect it to be. Okay, let's go now to the next page, number 14. Number 14, just a very simple line, which certainly needs always a chizuk. It's probably not enough chizuk that people need, but I'll just read through the piece quickly from Tefer Shlomo. That ikir akadusha hi beinayim. The ikir kedusha really stems from the eyes, and there's a lot to talk about in this topic. Ikir kedusha ha'adam tluya beinav. Person's kedusha really depends on his eyes, how he keeps his eyes from looking at things he shouldn't be looking at. Ukafisha shomer es einav kach yiskelios ben olam haba. The way a person really preserves his eyes and what he looks at, that's really going to bring him to a state of high chelak. A big chelik in Olam Haba. V'hu she'rama sepayit b'omro me'ein Olam Haba. The drash is me'ein, from one's eye and from one's eyes. What he looks at, shemir seinayim, that's going to bring a person to a tremendous level of Olam Haba. Okay, now let's jump to number 15. This is Michevle Mashiach Yitzul Racha, that's Divrei Yechezkel. Divrei Yechezkel says that al af shefligu chachameinu Migodel halachat sheye bizmano chevle Mashiach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about it's a scary thing. Around 5-6 Amoraim all say, I hope Mashiach comes, I just hope I'm not there to see it. What does that mean? Because the Gemara describes how terrible the times of Mashiach are going to be. The terrible tsaros, both in Gashmias and Ruchnias. I don't know if it's going to get worse than what the Holocaust was, but it's not going to be pleasant. And for that reason, the Amoraim all ask that they don't be around for the times of Mashiach. The Af Matinu Amoraim Shispalu B'Shizman B'Yisamei Mashiach Lo Yibiyameim. They davened that it shouldn't come in their time. Mikol Makom Tchinasenu Hi Peduseinu Tatzmiach. What does that mean? What's the comfort to us that we hope we live in the times of Mashiach? We are in Yimos Mashiach. The Gemara tells us the last 2,000 years of the world, which we are now at the end of, in the times of Mashiach. So we're in this time. So what's the nechama to us? That it's a scary world we live in. But the Gemara in Shabbos tells us a very, very simple solution. Kol ha'ochel shalosh sudos b'Shabbos. Those who eat three meals on Shabbos, nitzol mi'chevle shel Mashiach, is going to be saved from the pains of Mashiach, mi'melchemes gog u'magog, from the final war. So those who are lazy in the winter time and don't have Shal Shudis, it's hard. It's a hard thing. If you daven earlier, Ashkama, you could chap in a Kiddush to lunch there and then Shal Shudis, but it's very hard in the winter time. So the next time a person really thinks twice about having Shal Shudis, so then they should think about this Gemara here, that Kol Ochel Shal Shudis B'Shabbos Nitzo Mechev L'Shel Mashiach Mechemes Gog U'Magog. And Lafikach, therefore, Ein Lanu Lira Mipigei Chel Mashiach. Don't be so scared. We should daven that the Mashiach comes soon, because we're confident that we're going to be protected, and hopefully all other Yidden in the world will be protected by their fulfillment of the eating of the three meals on Shabbos. Okay, let's do one last piece here.
Yeah. If they were around during the time of Yitzhak's Mitzrayim, they were hoping that they would have not made it out?
They're around the time, what do you mean?
You're saying the Amoraim were davening that they should not be around before Moshe Mashiach, right, because of the destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And we also learned that the example of or the way it's going to be in the times before Mashiach is similar to what happened in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
No, I think that it's going to be worse. They say Mechamas Gog Magog is going to be worse than Mitzrayim. The pains are going to be worse, and the gula is going to even be greater. The pasuk says, the Gemara in Brachas
so
quotes,
more than three quarters of
Kalei. I don't know in terms of quantity. No one knows, but it's at least in the type of pains and struggles, it's described as much worse, both in Ruchnius and Gashmius. So it's a scary idea. I wanted to share actually Sfas Emes, I remember at the end with you, I meant to before. I mean, I'll finish with the Sfas Emes after. Let's just do one last piece inside here. Number 16, looks like a 10. 16. I always had very terrible handwriting. I hold a pen, no one ever taught me how to hold a pen properly. So I hold it in a very strange way, so my handwriting is not very very smooth, but I write very quickly. That's a good thing, I think. So the if you look inside now, the Koach Tzmichas Hagula. It's a little cut off here, so I'll read inside. Try to follow. Hagula ha'asida b'bias ha'mashiach nikreis b'shem tzmicha. The gula that's going to come is called tzmicha. Tzmicha means to grow. We just finished Tu B'Shvat here. We're growing, the tree's growing, the fruit's growing is a reference to the growing of Mashiach, the gula. K'nemar b'trila es tzemach David avdecha meheretz ha'tzmiach, we say, the tzemach David, the growing of David, David Mashiach ben David, who's going to come soon. V'chein shmol shel Mashiach hu ish tzemeach, that's his name according to Zechariah. The truth is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machlokas what the name of Mashiach is. One says Menachem, but the Gemara has really six other opinions there. And what's really fascinating, when you look at the Gemara there, I remember them by heart, but all the name suggested is something similar to the name of the one suggesting it. So in essence, let's say Rav Hoshaya was suggesting, I think, so he said Hoshaya is the Mashiach. Rav Huna made a suggestion, Hun is the Mashiach. So every single name suggested by the Amora was very similar, if not the same exact name, to their own name. And the Musar is, the lesson is, that there's a Mashiach on a global scale. That could be Tzemach, could be Menachem, but there's also a personal Mashiach. Everyone has a certain personal struggle, a personal gullus, a personal challenge, and the only way out of that is you and yourself, your own neshama, your own ability to break out of your own gullus. Now, it doesn't mean it's easy. We said breaking the, you know, Mashiach coming, the gula, is going to come with a lot of pains. The Chevle Mashiach, Melchemes Gog Magog, on a very personal level as well. But that's you are your own Mashiach. You are your own Goel, your own Redeemer. So he says, Humishum, what's the idea of Tzmicha, the growing of the Gula? Humishum Sheor HaGula, the light of the Gula, Kvar Zerua V'Omid. It's already planted. It's already in the world. V'Omid Kodem Brias Olmid. Ready before the world was created. Mashiach was already planted, hidden somewhere here. Kimavuar Gemara Psachim Dafnun Dalad Sheshmol Shemashiach, the name of Mashiach, Nivra Kodem Shenivra Olam. The name was created. Well, that's a name, not the person. So we know a name of a person is the essence of a person. Right? The Gemara in Yuma talks about how Rabbi Meir was walking, I think, once with Rabbi Yehuda. And they were looking for a place to stay. And they asked what the guy's name was. And the name had a bad name to it. It like had some negative connotation. Reb Meir refused to stay at the guy's house. Reb Yehuda wanted to stay at the guy's house. Gemara says Reb Meir was very makbid on learning a person's name. He could interpret someone based on the name they had. A name really gives someone his chias or her chias, a name. So the name was created before the world. That means Mashiach's essence was created before the world was created. By the B'nai Sashar uses this idea many times, how the power of her name really gives a person some koach. He mentions this when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, when he wanted to reveal the Ketz, Mashiach, the Gula. He wanted to share the Ketz Gula with his sons. And as he's about to reveal the Ketz, the Gula, he lost the Ruach HaKodesh. It escaped his mind. So he got nervous that maybe Shema Yeshbam Chet, maybe there's a Chet. One of the guys sinned. One of you, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, sinned. They said, no, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we all have one lev, what believe Echad, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Baal Turim says, if you're medaktik in all the names of the Shvatim, there's no letter Ches and there's no letter Tes. There's no Chet. There's no Chet in the names. He's talking about Chet Avera. So it says the B'nai Sashar, you see, he wasn't referring to the Chet as in Avera. He was talking about the letters Ches and Tet. The letters themselves has a certain koch. A person's name is a powerful, powerful thing. It's not a stam thing. When you name a child, naming a child isn't just like naming a child. It's naming a child. It's Ruach HaKodesh, as Farim say. The parents are blessed with the ability, even though they don't understand it, with a certain Ruach HaKodesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them to name a child. I should mention also, the parents have the Ruach HaKodesh, not the grandparents. The grandparents find that sometimes that the you know, the ability to name and help naming, it's a, I know, a very sensitive thing, I'm aware. My wife is due in a few weeks now. My mother very nicely said, well, you know. My mother never said anything before, but my grandmother was in Nifteris 2 summers ago, my mother's mother. My mother's not like this at all. She does not care. But she said, like, just, she's very open with me. I know, grandma, be very nice. I said, would be, but, you know, my wife's name is the same name as my grandmother, so maybe think of it, a different twist around it. My mother wouldn't really care. Other grandparents would really, really care and have cared, and it created, unfortunately, tremendous fighting in the house amongst parents. I have one turn the name of Rebbe Krohn, that if the grandparents want to name a child, let them have their own child. So it's a Ruach HaKodesh in naming a child. So the Shemol Shel Mashiach was created before the world was created. Utfilos v'dimos Yisrael ha-mevakshin ala gula b'choleis, the tefillah, davening and tears that Klal Yisrael are davening for the gula. Heim ketipos gishamim, they're like drips of rain. Hamatzmichin u'megadlin es ha-gula, that bring about the redemption. The viata nowadays, bizman shehazeh shedayin lo ba Mashiach tzidkenu, Mashiach hasn't yet come. Tzichinaseinu petuseinu tatzmiach v'nas yagom v'anocha. Shekoach tzmiches petuseinu, the power of the growth of the redemption. Toil levatil lefachos kol gzeros raos me'al kol b'nei Yisrael. We should be zoch that should really to cancel out, nullify all evil decrees. And Chazal tells, I don't remember if it's a Gemara or not, it could be just a Chazal, that all the tears, I think actually if you look at the Hakadama to the Art Scrolls Siddur on Tisha B'Av, so they quote a statement, I don't remember if it's a Gemara or a Medrash, that all the tears that we cry on Tisha B'Av, or throughout the year in the Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu collects in a cup up in Shemaim until it overflows. And it's actually amazing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to guess that probably no one here has ever really cried over the Beis HaMikdash destruction. We're just not at that level. If you are, that would be a tremendous level. I'd be very, very amazed by that. But when I was in Israel for a year and a half in HaKotel, every single day Rav Neventzal would go around the afternoon time. There was a window you could see from HaKotel. You'd look outside and you'd see a tear drip down his cheek. Every single day. I was told this happens 3 times a day. I only saw in the afternoon. He did it in the morning, afternoon, and nighttime. He would mamish cry looking at the mosque on top of the Kosel, on top of the Makom HaMikdash and Har Bayis. So all those tears that people like Rav Neventzal, and hopefully we could get to that level of crying about, that gets all collected into a cup until it overflows, and then causes all the seeds of Mashiach to really grow up and to bring about the Gula. And that's the idea that the Gemara tells us, that we were redeemed in Nisan, and we're going to be redeemed in Nisan as well. Nisan is a time of Geula. Why? Because it's a time where we start davening for Tal, Tefilas Tal. We change from Geshamim to Tefilas Tal. The Gemara in Chagiga says the Tali Oros. Tali Oros is the dew, is going to bring up the Mashiach, and it's going to bring Tchias HaMesim. Just like, why do we say Mashir Ruach Menegashem and Morida Tal in the Brach of Tchias HaMesim? Because the Gemara says, just like rain and tal could bring up the seed which is dead, a seed which is planted in the ground like a mace, it brings a seed and grows, so too the tali oros, tchias mesim, is going to come from the drips of dew, the drips of rain, from all of our crying overflowing to bring about the tchias mesim and to eventually bring out the tzmichas gulasenu of Mashiach. So we should be zocha soon for, you know, all the time we spend these past couple of months learning together as Mir Shabbos. Amen olam haba. We should be zocha soon to the tzmichas gulasenu, the coming of Mashiach, and all be zocha to a chelik in olam haba of a yom shekula Shabbos. Amen. Oh, the Sfas Emes. Oh, Sfas Emes, sorry. Just
to... They also say that, by the way, that the difference between tal, there's no such thing as tal not being the bracha.
Exactly, it's all bracha. It's all bracha, tal shel bracha.
I once asked I used to have a thing to ask the Sfarim. They always say, when you say Mashiach Ruach Mor Negashim or Mor Natal, they say in the bracha.
Uh-huh. Right.
I said, what's the lebracha on this?
It's all lebracha, right.
So one guy actually said to me something that was very interesting. He says, it's not that we're asking lebracha on the tal, because we know tal, there's no such thing other than bracha. He goes, because we need to be used to saying it all year round. You really need it for the Masha for Rosh.
Very good. Gashan, he said, tell us that.
So we don't forget to say it. At that point, you say it even when it comes to
very good. And let me read you quickly Sfas Emes here. Sfas Emes on that point we mentioned earlier about Yain Meshumar. Sorry to go back for a moment. He speaks about what we've been speaking about the past few months, about Shabbos is really supposed to be Negala to reveal Hapnimis HaNister. All of us have something, some sod, some nister, some secrets, our own neshama, something that's hidden we can't see. We all have a certain essence and Pnimis to ourselves that get revealed on Shabbos. It brings about our neshama to the surface. And ubechol makom hapnimis tzarech shmira. And secret requires shmira. You have to hold on to a secret. Right? That was one of the reasons the Maharal says why we are zocha to geula and Mitzrayim. Because Moshe realized that achei noda hadavar, Weimer spoke about this last year, if you remember, from the drasha, that once he saw, when Moshe killed the Mitzri, no Jew was supposed to tell anyone. It's supposed to be a secret. But then when he's told the Dasan Vavirim to stop fighting, he said, oh, you're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri? Achei noda hadavar. Now I understand that they can't keep secrets. If they can't keep a secret, they can't keep a sod, they can't keep the pinimis, they're not roy for geula. The ability for geula, the chus for geula, is the ability to hold on to secrets, hold on to the sod, to a pinimis of something. And therefore you have to keep the certain things pinimis hidden about the person being an anav, not describing what he's accomplished, what he's able to accomplish. That's why it says, lachen kasev tishmoru. Shabbos has to be tishmoru, has to be preserved, the shmira, keeping Shabbos, keeping secrets, keeping pinimis. And that's why you have to keep Shabbos and make Kiddush on the Yayin, because Yayin is a remez to Nigla Sod, Apnimis Shezep Pulas HaYayin. Yayin is Nichnas Yayin, Yatsa Sod. Sod is supposed to be Tishmer, it's supposed to be kept. But come Shabbos, we're supposed to reveal that Sod. Nichnas Yayin, we drink the Kiddush of Yayin, we drink the Yayin Meshumar, and then it's going to be Yatsa Sod. The Sod, the secret's going to come out, it's going to bring about the Geula. So again, there's more here to look inside if you want. This is found in Parshas Kisisa, Taf, Reishon, and Gimel, and the Sefas Emes. But that's the idea. Shabbos is really taking the Pnimius, the Neshama of each one of us here. And about drinking wine, about bringing out the Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod, to bring out the Sod of ourselves, the redemption of ourselves, the Geul of ourselves, our being our own Mashiach, and finding what a real Tafkut is in this world, coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, with all this, we should be Zocha, the coming of the Mashiach soon, the Geula, Shleima, Bamitas, Meher, V'Yameinu. Amen. Yeah, shall we learn?